get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
That's Joe DeSosa.
That's Kurt Brown Holler.
And this is Emotional Hangs, ladies and gentlemen, the podcast about adult friendship, getting vulnerable, and
all of that's on the count of three. One, two, three. Let's get soft.
All right. Now, if you guys have been following, Joe has been rubbing it in my face that the guy from DFA, who wasn't James Murphy, the guy who owns the record label DFA, emailed Joe, DM Joe, saying, big fan of the podcast, love your comedy, can I send you some records? And then, of course, did not reach out to me. And then today, this week, of course, Joe did get a beautiful pack of vinyl.
Nine
from
vinyls.
DFA. Nine
records. That was above and beyond. Thank you again, DFA Records.
And and you heard my pain.
Yeah, yeah.
Listeners, you heard my pain. The exclusion. I think the exclusion is rude. I'll double down on it. The guy who owns DFA, go fuck yourself. I think it's a rude thing to do.
I'll tell him to go fuck himself.
No, go fuck yourself.
This is my friend now.
When I told Lauren about it, she's like, does that mean we can get LCD Sound System tickets? And I was like, it means maybe Joe can get LCD Sound System tickets.
If I get them, I would share them with you guys. I would bring you
guys. I mean, honestly, I'm not going. So you can take my wife.
I'll go with you, Joe. All right, I'd love to go to that show.
Yeah, if I get tickets, I'll bring Lauren.
So someone on Twitter reached out to me and said, I'll send you some vinyl. And I would like to throw out a thank you to Matt Moturn. I received it just right before I came here to the podcast.
Okay.
I brought it with me. I have not had a chance to listen to it. I have no idea what this is. Matt Moturn, manly man. And then also it says Moturn Heartburn. So I'm unsure if the name of the band is Moturn Heartburn or Matt Moturn or Manly Man.
Is it a comedy record?
Unsure. It seems like it might be, because definitely there's Brendan Walsh and Randy Litke in the lower right-hand
and
corner.
And it's also a man posing in front of the fire.
With a dog and a guitar.
Yeah, it's a comedy record.
Well, if it's I don't know if it's like a comedy record or if it's like, it's music, but it's a little funny. Do you know?
Well, I would think if you put Randy and Brendan on the front
cover. But also,
there's
Doug Stanhope on the back, too. So maybe he's just putting pictures of people he likes. I don't know.
I'm assuming he's like known from Doug's podcast.
Ah.
That's why that's on.
Maybe he made that just for you.
Oh, that's so nice.
That would be nice.
It would be nice. Anyway, I want to shout out Matt Moturn. Thank you so much, Matt.
And
I'm gonna cherish this. This is better than all of the LCD Sound System records that Joe got.
That was only some of them were LCD Sound System records, and I got a bunch of other cool bands. Big shout out to DFA Records, my new homeboys.
Big shout out to Matt Moturn. You and me, buddy. You and me. If you put out another record, send it my way.
I also, before we bring our guest on, I want to just say just to make note of this is an update for the podcast.
You all right? Do you have a stroke?
The cyclists have come after me. They're very angry.
Oh boy.
I'm talking guys, authors of cycling books.
So if you don't remember, a few weeks ago when we had Nikki on.
and Lizzie.
Nikki and Lizzie on. Yeah. Joe started with this rant about almost dooring a guy who was riding his bike past. And then Joe put the onus on the bike rider to watch out as opposed to him. But he also came around, so you did a rant
about it. Basically,
what
I was saying was I was mad. I was coming in really hot, and then the twist at the end is I went into my show and said, was I wrong? And everybody went, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, fine, I was wrong.
And so that's the thing.
And I was also mad that the guy didn't go, hey, hey. He was like, literally was like, fuck you! And it's like, dude, I get it. Like, you're in more danger than I am, obviously, but you're also part of this equation a little bit. Like, it's not...
Right. You are mad at him for having an emotional reaction in the same way that this guy on Twitter was mad at you for having an emotional reaction.
Right, right.
He had an emotional reaction because he felt like his life was in danger. As a person who's been doored, flipped off my handlebars, shattered a $3,000 camera that was in my backpack that work owned.
That sucks.
It sucks, and it feels, you know, it's a very emotional thing. So... But well, what's weird is that the guy came after you, because if you listen to it, if you listen to this podcast, you know that you're a reasonable person. And at the end of that exchange, even though you did your normal Joe thing of like screaming about it, you then came around and were like, all right, then I was wrong. And you admitted that you were wrong.
Yep.
The fact that he came at you like this so hard.
Not only came at me like this, also transcribed a very convenient portion of the text. Of the thing, and just posted that. So then all these other people started jumping on. And by the way, Aaron, I know your name's Aaron, and I also know that you're a performer, so I think it's doubly fucking lame that you're going after another performer. And also, I listened to your moth story where you throw eggs at a fucking car because it was honking outside your window. So I guess vandalism is a crime you're okay with when you're annoyed. But, you know. So anyway.
Also, wait a second. But what's interesting, go ahead.
So anyway, Aaron, not in the true spirit of the moth, you didn't listen to the whole story. And if you did, you didn't give me any credit for coming around at the end. And I think a guy like you would enjoy a dramatic monologue with a few twists and turns. But
great.
Him and this other guy, Robert O. Green, who produced such mega hits in Hollywood as Mad Money, starring Diane Keaton, reviews referred to it as a low point in Keaton's career. He also not only produced...
He's done a lot of research.
I looked up these guys because they made a lot of comments about me as a comedian.
As a sociopath.
And they called me a sociopath. They said that I said that I was entitled to harming people, which I never said. They also said Mr. Producer Robert O. Green, who has now blocked me on Twitter, he said that he was going to see to it that I do not work.
Oh, my God.
Because he knows everybody.
He said he knows everybody Hollywood.
This is the everybody that Robert O. Green knows. Again, one of the producers on Diane Keaton's low point, Mad Money, also produced not just the movie Waiting, but its sequel, Still Waiting, which starred Adam Carolla. So the guy doesn't have a problem with the shit that comes out of Adam. I'm not attacking Adam Carolla, but he's a controversial guy. So this guy's got no problem with Adam Carolla. He's also got no problem producing a movie where, in the original one of the running jokes is that Ryan Reynolds' character likes to fuck underage girls. That's a running gag. So Robert O. Green is okay with jokes about statutory rape, but not comedic rants about biking and dooring. That's crossing a line with Mr. Robert O. Green.
Here's what I do find interesting, and is that if these guys had kind of come at you in a slightly more reasonable way, just being like, dude, you're misinformed, like, this is actually, like, dangerous. Like, you, I think, would have responded reasonably to that, as you
Aaron
did.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Aaron sort of did at the beginning, and then when his final tweet to me that day was, have me on the show, I was like, is this guy gunning to come on the show? Like, I thought that was kind of gross, so I just didn't respond to any of them. And then the next day, he, like, started in on me again and really started, like, trying to ramp it up and stuff. And again, this is a guy, he produces web content. So does Robert O. Green. He's in fact producing a web series for Wired, starring a friend of mine, Emily Heller. But these guys are in the business.
Right. So I want to really get to our guest too.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm going off too.
But also the thing that everyone needs to realize too is that like it could have gone a different way. I think if they had handled it differently. But now because of that, because you've been so worked up about this all week, guys, Joe went out and bought an SUV yesterday. Okay? So, like, Joe could have gone either way. Do you know what I mean? Joe could have gone either way. And this is the problem, I think, with, like, online kind of activism, is that, like, you're a reasonable person. You could be swayed, you know, but...
I could have easily been swayed.
You're called a sociopath, and you just are like, oh, yeah, you want to see a sociopath? I'll go buy an SUV.
I didn't buy an SUV. I bought a Jeep Cherokee, which is a mini SUV. I'm not driving around in a goddamn fucking suburb, you know, Denali XL or whatever. But anyway, the We do need to move on.
Yes.
I was pissed, and I just don't like it when do-gooders are also happen to be blatant hypocrites, and then also start saying things to me like, oh, you're a thin-skinned comic. It's like, dude, I wasn't the one that fucking freaked out about something a guy said on a podcast. Like, it's, you know, so anyway, guys.
And for the record, I still think you were wrong.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's
all
fine.
Right, great.
I admitted that I was wrong.
Exactly.
In that episode. But anyway, I'm off Twitter now.
Okay, you're done.
I'm done. I will post to it through Instagram, but I can't go on with these fucking losers anymore. I can't do it. It's not built for me.
Okay.
I'm not built for Twitter.
Right.
I can't ignore
it.
Everybody goes, ignore it. I can't. It's just, I don't like people like this talking to me in any way.
Yeah.
So
you and Kirkman. You and Kirkman. Can't ignore it. All right.
I don't really take it to the Kirkman. I'm not shitting on Jen, but she really...
No, not at all. But she can't let it go.
Anyway.
So we're introducing... This is a first for Emotional Hangs.
Yeah.
Normally we have two friends on who become adult friends. But because our guest and I happen to have a podcast that got released this week... That you can go listen to on iTunes.
Finally.
And anywhere else you get podcasts called Wedlock.
Fucking finally.
It's a woman I'm married to, Lauren Cook.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Kurt's other wife.
And my friend. And Lauren.
Yes. We're good buddy.
You know, we should make it clear that Lauren's here because it's somebody that we both have a relationship with.
Oh, Joe, you're so sweet.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. We're going to go to LCD Sound System together.
Yeah, I hope so. So the podcast, I thought you guys were already doing Wedlock. It wasn't...
We did Wedlock, and it was on Audible, and it was like buried deep in Audible behind paywalls and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now it's just a podcast.
It took forever for them to release it on Audible, but you still had to like get the app for Audible and... You couldn't listen without downloading the app on your phone.
Yeah. Okay.
Now it's just a regular old podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool.
Yeah. So you can listen to it. So I'll interview you two because you guys became friends outside of me.
Yes.
And where did you guys first hang out?
The apartment or the house crawl.
That's the first time we met.
Christmas, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a Christmas house crawl. At Kristen Shaw's house was the first place
met
you.
I was on the road.
You were on the road, yeah. Yeah, I remember, I hope this isn't an overshare, but...
There is no such thing on this podcast.
Okay,
no.
Good.
I just screamed about bikers for another 8 minutes.
I can't believe people are getting so revved up about today. Like, that's upsetting. You called them activists? Like...
Yeah, there's bike activists.
I'm
a card-carrying member of Transportation Alternatives.
But
like,
wait a minute.
I understand bike activism.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
I don't.
Don't sell me down the river here. You think it is ridiculous, and you texted me as much.
Yeah, no, I do. I think it was ridiculous that so many people kept ganging up. Especially, I'm sure the majority of them did not listen to the podcast.
No,
don't
they
know
looked at
who
his little transcript.
They looked at his transcript that was like, didn't take into consideration all the facts.
But what's your overshare? Let's not go back down the
bike
lane.
Oh, no, you just... I was very charmed by you the first time I met you because you were explaining to me that you like hooked up with your ex-girlfriend who left you for a woman, and like this was the first thing you explained to me, like within 45 seconds of meeting you, like this is sort of what you put on the table, and I was like, wow, he's...
it happens when you're drinking at 1 p.m.
No, we hadn't really started drinking yet.
Then I came in with an overshare.
You were still in love with her, I guess? It was, maybe I'm not remembering it exactly.
I mean, it's
right,
like maybe 4 years ago, right?
God, who? I don't remember at this
You have
point
no idea who this person is? Somebody you dated for a while, I think, but you had tried dating other people. It wasn't working, and you kind of still had a thing for her, but...
Okay.
She
no,
was
I know
mostly,
but yeah, but she yeah. was involved with a woman.
Yeah. What's the status of that person?
Yeah. What
now?
Happened?
We're still very good friends.
Uh huh.
But that ship has sailed. But rightfully so. It was. I think I was a little misled or what? Not by her. I was misleading myself. I kind of thought like, oh, it's just the
it was
one
something more.
Wasn't she coming and like sleeping next to you or something?
Yeah, I think, we had shared a bed. Yeah, it was,
I love that.
So that's how I met Joe.
That's a great opener.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That was the opener. And I was like, whoa, he goes there. Like, okay.
And Lauren loves that.
I love it so much.
She loves it so much. If you're like willing to just be like, here's my soul. And she's like, here's mine. Let's get into it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, let's find a corner and just talk for 4 hours.
I remember telling Kurt this on what I believe is the very first. We just reran all the original Emotional Hangs episodes that we did, that we started doing back then.
Right. How long ago was it? It wasn't that long.
It was a couple of years back, but we would do them very sporadically. There was no consistency to it.
Okay.
So we played, on I think the first episode ever, I said, I'm about to compliment you and your girlfriend, because
we're
engaged.
No.
Yet. Uh-huh. In the highest way I can, and I said, I hope this isn't too much. And I go, I met Lauren. At that point, it was probably a year ago.
Right.
And I said, I remember when I first met Lauren, I was very charmed by her. I was disappointed to find out she was not single, but I was happy that she was dating you. So it was like a double, like
creepy and then nice. That's what's creepy. Nice about it.
When
I first saw your girlfriend, I wanted to fuck your girlfriend. Then, when I found out it was fucking you, I was psyched.
Yes, that's exactly what I just said.
That's what he said.
That's word for word what I just said.
What was the time, Joe, though, that we went to that bar? You, me, and Vince? That was a different day.
Well, that was a huge...
Estelle Christian Shaw, though.
That it was. It was Christian Shaw.
Kristen's
had the solstice party.
Oh, she had
party.
The... Yeah, yeah, yeah. With Lang Fisher, yep.
And that was a huge step in our friendship for two reasons. Number one...
Again, I don't know why I'm always...
Kurt's never there.
I was really just fucking road-dogging it all those
days.
Yeah,
you were.
I mean, nobody cared that you weren't. Nobody was like, we wish Kurt was here.
You guys were having a great time without me.
No, this was a huge day. This was, and this is a question we often ask on this podcast where we say, when we interview pairs of friends and we say, well, when was the moment when you said, this is like a friend, like this is somebody I'm going to be friends with. That day was that day for you and me, in my head at least, because... I went to Kristen Shaw's thing. I was feeling very self-conscious about going because I knew Kurt wasn't going.
Yeah.
I knew he was out of town and I knew I probably wasn't really going to know that many people there.
Yeah.
And I was very, very like in my head about like just showing up.
Yeah. I was nervous too. It was a real sceney kind of a gathering.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And lovely people, but.
Yeah. I felt like I was going to be like the like odd man out or something. But Kristen, as always, was very wonderful. And, but then I saw you and I was relieved and I was like, oh, whew, thank God. Like, I know somebody here. And then we were talking and then you said to me, and we don't have to get into what it was about, but you said to me, I owe you an apology. The last time I saw you, Kurt and I were having an argument and you walked up to us.
Oh, yes.
And I said, oh, shit, are you guys fighting? And I was kind of laughing because I didn't think you were. And then you were like, yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. Okay. So I walked away.
Uh-huh.
And you were like, I owe you an apology. And I was like,
remember this.
George's wedding.
I was like, the fact that she, this long, it was a long time after. It was a couple months. It wasn't like I had seen you the next day or something.
Yeah, I felt bad about that, though.
But, well, this is what I'm getting at, is the fact that you, that long after, made the effort to say sorry, when you didn't have to, you didn't do anything wrong. It was like, a super cool gesture. And then you, me, and Vince went to the bar and like.
So unnecessarily.
And we like
kept
hung
drinking.
Out and drank for the first time ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I was
we
like.
We had a fun time.
I emailed or texted Kurt like after you left to walk your dog. And I was just like, dude, like, she's the best. Like, I feel like she's like my actual friend now. And like, you know.
Yeah, no, I remember getting that text.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very nice, though, because I feel like you have a lot of friends who don't make me feel as included. Like, you go the extra mile to be like, and tell Lauren hi,
yes.
And I met, and I love Lauren, too.
Right.
Which is really appreciated.
It
That's
goes
very
a long
sweet
way.
Of you. Yeah, because I don't think everybody does that, not just with us, but in general, people don't think about the other half of a couple sometimes. It's like, well, I'm friends with that half.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I have a hard time these days. I think I'm only friends with couples where I am friends with both people.
But that's nice, though. I think a lot of people don't don't do that. I feel as if you're just showing respect to the couple and saying, like, you're also a full person with a life and opinions of your own.
Right.
I know. And that, and having, you know, having your perspective on that, I think has made me rethink how I have treated, like, I have a lot of good friends who are all, like, you know, married or in couple, and I don't, I hope, I want to use as a framework.
You
want to
be more like Joe.
I want to be more like Joe.
Yeah.
In that thing, I do want to make sure that I give both equal weight. It's sometimes difficult because it's like a person that you've known, like, you know, 24 years, you know, and then this other person who's like newer than 24 years.
Yeah.
But it's like, it that kind of shit really counts. Like, just being like, hey,
just
how are you?
Just being inclusive.
How
it's
are
nice.
You?
What's it's going very on? Nice. Yeah, 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 yeah. It well, almost like, I almost did a double take. Like, me?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're at this age. It's like, you can't. Look, if I became friendly with somebody now and I really didn't like their significant other, like, and it was like a real ethical thing, like, I don't know, this is a bad person to me, I wouldn't be friends with that person anymore.
You know, I had that situation. I had that situation.
We're too old. We have to mix too much. It's like, you can't. It's.
But that's the point, though. You don't have to. It's nice that you do, but you don't have to. So a lot of people don't.
Well, I had a
right.
I'm going to talk.
Like broing out. Like, I'm going to bro out. Kind of a vibe. What are you talking about? I don't know who you're talking
about. I'm talking about a very good friend of mine started dating this woman who I was like, I had problems with, but I was like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Then one day we're out to dinner and she...
Oh, I know who you
is.
Mean.
She says, I said the word ginger and she goes... she's a white girl. She's a white girl. And she goes, ginger. You know what has the same letters? And I was like,
no, this is
what?
Such a horrible.
And I was like, what?
Tell me she drops a hard one.
She was saying.
She's so dumb.
She's so dumb. She said that ginger was as offensive to people with red hair as the N-word is to black people because Irish people were sold as slaves in America. And I was just like, that's not true. And I just like
Andrew's
went off
disgustingly shaking his head.
I was
no,
like,
I mean,
I was
it's like
no,
doesn't and it's even a deserve it, any kind of a, it's so
no
dumb.
But did you know that it's a right no it's a right wing thing. It's a right wing fake fact that like they believe that like Irish people were sold as slaves in America. It's like, no, it's not true. Indentured servitude was a thing where they had to work for 7 years and then to pay back their like crossing over, but then after that they were free citizens. They were never auctioned off. They were never like paid for like animals, like. And so we got into this huge
but also,
fight.
Also, let's but even even with that all in mind,
it's insane.
There was never
I call myself ginger.
There was never a historical thing where people where ginger was a slur of derogatory whatever.
Like, no,
like you saying don't even know where to begin to like.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you're so fucking dumb. I like yelled at her at the table. And then we like ate the rest in silence. I left. And then I was like, I don't know if I can ever see her again. And I luckily never had to because he broke up with her like relatively recently after that.
Wait, no. She
did we
still
hang out?
Showed up. She
but I wouldn't talk to
up.
Her. I wouldn't interact with her. Once she showed up, I was just like, I'm out. I'm not talking at all. I'm not interacting at all. It's just such a fucking insane thing.
It was. She was a horrible person.
Yeah. Anyway, so... That's the only situation I've ever been where I was just like, well, cut it off.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough because you only get the pass for so long.
Yeah.
When you date an asshole or marry an asshole, you only get the pass for so long. You only get the, like, oh, poor guy or poor girl thing for so long before you're like, you know what? You're a fucking asshole, too. Like, you're condoning this. Like,
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I can only have so much of an open mind about... Well, imagine what they're going through. It's like, okay, but, you know, I have limits. It doesn't mean, like, I have to be a party to somebody acting like an asshole, you know? And I've been in that situation, and it sucks.
Yeah. That level of ignorance is, like, you can't ignore that. That's real bad.
Well,
but he's dating somebody else, though.
Oh, 100%. He's, like, the best guy in the entire world.
He is.
He is really fantastic.
Well, and the support for that argument is that he broke up with this.
Yes, exactly.
I would.
But the sex was amazing. I understand. I understand that that's the reason that it was, like, there still.
And for all the gingers that are going to attack me on Twitter now, I'm not on Twitter anymore.
Here it comes.
By the way, just a quick side note before we get too far away from it, 2 seconds. I want the cyclists to know, you didn't drive me away from Twitter. You didn't drive me away from Twitter.
Seems like they drove you away from Twitter.
No, they didn't. They didn't.
Really?
I have now been equally attacked and threatened.
On Instagram?
As far as my life is concerned, my well-being, whatever. You know,
when
my
he says well-being, he's rubbing his fingers together
livelihood.
Like money.
My livelihood. I've now been equally attacked by extreme right-wing and extreme liberal people. So you're all the same. You're all pieces of shit. And fuck all of you.
The struggles of being right in the middle with Joe DeRosa.
Why can't you support me? Support me.
Andrew, our producer, is holding up a sign saying, Kurt, give out Joe's mailing address.
That's great. You should.
That's so funny. Just support me.
I support you.
You know?
Yeah.
Would you do that to Lauren if she said, I don't really hate these people online?
No,
they
and
really
that's why
you.
We're not fucking married, all right? All right, I am there's some level where I am required to always back up my wife. I will always back her up.
Well,
I don't have
nice
to always
to,
fucking
it's
back
up. Nice to know you do
up.
It out of obligation.
Yeah. No, I back
I have to. It's yeah. The choice he has
I'll turn
to.
The tables on you, fuckface. Don't think I won't do it. The all right, let's get back into Lauren conversation
yeah.
here.
Should we tell you a little bit about this podcast? Just to...
Yeah, please.
Oh yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm curious. I know, as I said before, I know you guys have been doing it.
We've
I'm
been
curious.
Doing it for so long.
We have been.
Yeah. So let's give like the real quick. We started it as part of the K-hole.
Well, just the way, same thing that we
just
did
chats.
With this here.
Sure,
too.
Yeah.
And it was just us chatting because we were about to get married.
Yeah.
And we're just like, both of us don't have functional frameworks for what marriage would look like.
No blueprint. Yeah, we both were raised by a single mom and like, should we get married? Is that a thing that even makes sense?
Right.
Why should we do that? And we both, I feel like I always give the spiel, but we both come from this very different dating background where Kurt dated like 3 people in his whole life, and then he had 1 year where he went crazy. But the majority of his life was a really intense, committed relationship where they lived together, and I had never had that. I never lived with anybody.
Nor was just doing what I did for a year, but for a long time.
All the time. But, you know, not necessarily like tons of one-night stands, but like it would be like, I'm dating someone for 3.5 months. It's getting really serious. And how those two backgrounds are like...
Which is... Right, how they're totally different.
Well, and how you like have a relationship when you're both coming from such completely different experience. Like what you think's going to happen. You know, like I was always ready to walk out the door because I was like that.
That's what you did. But also that's very weirdly is like you guys are very, you know, similar in that. Like that you haven't really had a really long-term relationship.
Yeah.
You've only had like short-term relationships.
But here's the thing. Yeah. I think most people are like us. I think you're the outlier here.
I think most people are like me.
Really? Because I feel very... I don't agree with that. I always feel like the outcast. Like,
really?
Everybody I know has been in at least a year-long relationship.
Okay,
once
a year.
Or twice. I've never even come close to a year.
Yeah.
Lauren hadn't before me.
Yeah, before... I had one that was like 8 months. I think that was my longest.
That was my longest.
Yeah.
Look at that. You guys are the same person.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh, well, I'm glad you two found each other.
We found each other, too.
Oh. Fuck off. You don't even back me up with these goddamn cycling trolls.
I can't. You're wrong.
So dumb.
I'm the exact same way. It's it's like tons of hookups, one night stands, flings, and then like very short lived relationships.
Yeah.
But did you? Let me ask you this, and then we'll get back into the podcast.
Please.
Did you also? Because I find this it sounds dumb to go. I find this fascinating about myself,
yeah.
But like I don't mean it that way. I'm just
I sit and ponder it. Like how interesting I am.
I look in a mirror and go, "You've got it."
Tell me more.
I find that I'm an anomaly, given my dating history, in the sense that I remain friends with almost everybody.
Oh, no. No.
Lauren could not. When we first
everybody's
met.
Everybody's dead. Pretty
okay,
everybody.
So you're like, you don't hang around. You're not pals anymore.
Yeah, not pals anymore. Okay. I mean, there's one guy that, or two guys that I'm still in touch with. But no, like not, I just.
She burns it down. She salts the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked to like so many people that I used to date. Like some of them are dear, dear friends.
Wow. I don't know how you do that.
That's what when Lauren met me, I was hanging out. I'm still very was good friends and still I'm friends with this woman I had dated for a very long time.
Right.
But she was always hanging around because she was part of the friend group when Lauren started hanging out, and Lauren simply could not understand why this kept happening. Like, we would have a date.
No, I mean, like, the first five dates this woman was there, which is...
Well, that's weird. On the date?
Well, we were on a date, it wasn't like she just showed up. She was with all of my friends. You know, like,
I it's hard to
hang with your friends on dates.
Every date we ended up, she would end up there. I think I was completely in the right to be like, this is a little much.
Like, well, I also think it's weird that on, like, your first and third and second dates, whatever, you're, like, bringing her immediately to hang out with your boys.
It was just...
this first date
It was New York, and it was, you know, you end up at a bar and everybody shows up.
Oh, okay.
And it would be like, show, you know, like, you were doing your one-man show, and so everybody would come, and...
And the one-man show was about her.
Was it really? Yeah. And then he did the This American Life that was all about how tragic their breakup was.
Oh,
and
I thought you meant about you. No, the one man show was about the girl that kept showing up.
Yeah.
Okay, now I get it.
And then that This American Life would air every year on Valentine's Day.
And their spin on it was that we had the perfect relationship, and it was very sad that they broke up, which was not my experience with it. We didn't have the perfect relationship. It wasn't sad that we broke up. It was like, I was happy we broke up.
Yeah.
Well, here's another connection that you and I can have. Okay. Kurt's This American Life was the This American Life story the show had me listen to understand how to do a story. That was the only example they sent me.
Oh, interesting.
And then they passed. We recorded it, and they were like, we're not going to run it.
That's so funny, because they recorded one with the two of us and didn't run that either.
I have recorded
it. Really made me sad when they didn't run it, because I felt like Ira Glass really like understood what a sad man I was. And at one point in the interview.
I felt like he liked it so much. I was like, he's definitely going to air this. There's no way.
It's what makes him such a good interviewer is that he fucking connects with you and he makes you feel understood.
I stayed in that room for like an hour and a half.
Oh, I've recorded so much stuff for them that they've never used.
Yeah.
So it's not like you guys.
Ooh, Kurt,
that's not a brag.
Can I see your New Yorker subscription? Fucking nerd. I'm just, you know, that's just how Ira is, guys.
Yeah, let me tell you a little secret about my best friend Ira.
Excuse me for having a fucking life and experiences with people.
I know some douchebags on Twitter you can make friends with. Oh my God!
Go eat shit. I hate you, and I hate doing this podcast. This is my last episode on this podcast. Burn it down.
This is the other reason I like Lauren so much, outside of just our friendship. She truly enjoys. I feel like we bond over breaking Kurt's balls sometimes.
Giving him shit,
That's a fun thing when you're friends with a friend of yours's wife or you know spouse.
Yeah,
and you can both kind of like give your buddy shit.
Yeah,
you
know, no, 100%.
Like,
I love.
I don't even notice that I'm giving you shit. Like your friends call me out on it a lot.
Really,
Jonah said something. You said something about. God, a bad story. I can't remember the specifics,
okay.
But he was like, you're really mean to him, aren't you? I was like, I am? Oh,
no,
shit.
You're not really mean to me. I honestly like that. I like it when people give me shit. It makes me...
Yeah.
It makes me respect
them.
He loves it.
Right?
Are you kidding
me? I love ball breaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you in a relationship right now? Mm-mm. Can I ask that question?
Yeah, of course.
You're not? Okay.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I'm dating. Nothing. Nothing serious. You know, it's all. I don't know. I don't think I'm gonna. Kind of coming to the conclusion that I don't know if I'm gonna meet her in L.A.
Uh huh.
I might be wrong. You know. I don't. You know. I never say never. But like, I don't know. It's just. It's very very hard. Everybody is so entrenched in the business out here, and
yeah.
And that's a thing that I. continually every day, like, try to distance myself a little bit further from. Like, I don't like partaking in this business in the way that the average person partakes in it, which is, you know, relates to the Twitter thing where it's like, yeah, I don't want people to have this kind of access to me, and it doesn't sit well with me, so I'm not going to do it. You know, whereas there are other people out there that would be like, you just got to do it. That's what you do. That's how it works. You know what I mean? And I'm not that kind of person. So it's tough for me to see myself marrying or like getting in a serious relationship with somebody else that's like in the business. Mm-hmm. Unless they were in it in a very different way.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing. I could picture that. But I agree. I really love to make friends with people who are not involved at all. Just because it makes LA seem bigger and it makes like your world seem bigger.
And that's really what you liked about New York. That's what I liked about New York. Because like when you would go out, you would meet people who had... No, and like you're like, oh, I do comedy, and they're like, that's amazing. What? That's amazing. Like everybody you meet in LA, it's like, I do comedy. And it's like, all
right,
great.
It's tough.
Parties are a shame. I don't like parties in LA for that reason.
No, they're never fun.
Yeah, they're never.
Because they're not parties. They're like schmooze, whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like I've never, it's so funny to me in LA. Now, I used to get annoyed in New York at parties because parties, somebody would say, I'm having a party. And then it was always just, well, no, you told people to go to this bar. Like, like the house party didn't exist at all in New York.
Really?
I mean, it, of course there were exceptions.
There's dinner parties.
I
love dinner
parties. Did you know me when I lived in on 26th Street? That huge apartment?
What are you
in
talking
Manhattan?
About? What are you talking about? Oh, no. No, no, no. You lived there with your ex.
No, I didn't.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Oh, that's right.
About.
I moved out. Sorry, I was just thinking about house parties in Manhattan. Like, we would have one all the time because it was like this big.
You're talking about with Oren?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard those were great parties. I never went to any of them.
Yeah, I was just thinking like that's the only time I would go to house parties was where at our house.
Well, what I was going to say is that New York, the thing that was rare to me was like a genuine house party, which always kind of bugged me. And then you get to L.A. and house parties are a thing. And all I think about the whole time is I just wish I was at a bar with like five of my friends. You know what I mean? Because, it's a weird, you never know if the person you're talking to is like the fucking CEO at goddamn Warner Brothers or some shit. You know what I mean? You're like, you don't feel comfortable letting loose.
Yeah.
That's why when I did that New Year's thing, I was like, here's fucking weed, here's nitrous, here's booze. Like, I invited friends. I'm like... Like, have fun, everybody. Nitrous. Like, cut loose. I don't want there to be any weirdness in here right now.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Get into the nitrous.
I was pregnant, and Kurt was like, could I do nitrous? I was really pregnant.
I checked in with her, and then I still get shit for it.
No, because you were like, this is the way you pitch it to me. Because, like I said, really pregnant. It's a bummer to be pregnant on New Year's Eve. It's all those drinking holidays really suck when you're pregnant, because you're really uncomfortable, and you can't get drunk. And so Kurt was like, we're going to go for like an hour and a half. We'll go home and go to bed early. And so within that hour, you were like, could I just real quick do some nitrous?
Is it okay if I take a trip on a canoe through my mind? Just quickly, before we leave.
Yeah, I mean, it's... But here's the other thing with LA parties. Uh-huh. And this is supports what we're talking about. When you have to tell people, every invitation says... Take an Uber. When you have to tell people like that, you know they're not in the party spirit. Like in New York, you would never have to say, take the subway because we're going to get shit-faced. Like people are like, yeah, I'm getting shit-faced.
Don't they
your
say
party.
That though because there's nowhere to park?
I mean, I feel like people say that.
You think people say take an Uber to like encourage people to get drunker?
No, it's because there's nowhere to park.
I think it is because... It's people saying like, guys, like, come
don't like you. Don't excuse yourself by being like, I gotta drive.
Yeah, like, come.
They're
hang.
Like taking away the excuse.
Oh,
I don't think
funny.
I've
I
done that. That's why I've always put it in my invitations.
I'm like, that's why you do it.
But people, I'm telling you, people do it, and I'm like, it's because LA's a driving city. You can park. How hard is parking in LA? It's not that hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sometimes
I don't know.
Anyway.
Anyway.
I just don't like when people sort of look over your head.
Yeah.
for somebody more important to talk to.
They always have to look around my shoulders. Yeah, so it's like it's much more obvious when they're like checking what's going on. Because they really
got to
go
on a
around.
Chair. Let's climb on top of it.
Did you guys talk enough about the podcast?
No.
No. I felt like we got way off of that.
I mean, all you need to know is that we, it's very produced, right?
It's very produced. It's like, but it's not about us and it's not about marriage. It's about all types of relationships.
Yeah.
We go to really crazy places. It's like a very nice podcast.
We had a budget. So
we had
like,
a budget.
We went and did some crazy shit. We went to a nudist colony. Nudist
we got
retreat.
Totally naked.
I saw the picture from that.
Yeah, that
you
was
guys
funny.
Posted.
We went to the Jacksonville Zoo and watched bonobos fuck to talk about monogamy.
Yeah.
Because that's a completely non-monogamous society where
what's
they just
bonobo?
Fuck all the time. A bonobo is very similar to a chimpanzee. But where chimpanzees.
It's a female-led species.
Yeah. So chimpanzees fight all the time and it's a male-led society. This is a matriarchy, and they just fuck each other to like
that's how they
solve
appease
every
each
problem.
Other. Yeah,
just it's amazing. Like, they have like sex like 40 times a day,
and it's usually around like
Jesus
food and stuff.
Food, like how to hand out the food. It's like, okay, you don't get all of that, but here, I'll jerk you off for a second.
It's really fucking crazy. It's crazy.
Oh my God.
It's awesome.
Yeah, we talked to a cam girl. We talked to a man who. had been married to a woman for many, many, many years, and she decided that she wanted to become a man, and so now he's still married, but now he's in a homosexual relationship with his husband.
That's wild.
Yeah, yep. It's like really. So we really do get to.
We did fight therapy with Kyle Kinane and his girlfriend Rachel Olson, where we actually fought.
Yeah, fight therapy is where it's like you work out your issues by physically fighting your partner.
Yeah,
and we did that.
How do you physically fight?
We were taught.
It's like jujitsu grappling stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like a martial art but skill. But
yeah.
We were taught a bunch of like
ways
holds and
it's all therapy too. It's like this is how you work issues out. When words can't express what you need to get out, physically you can get these emotions out.
That was the idea.
Yeah.
If you guys ever want me to come on talk about my Nintendos that I've been collecting. That's basically my partner.
Yeah, so you guys can go and listen to it. It's called Wedlock.
Yeah, go now.
It's on iTunes.
Subscribe
and rate it. And also, you know what?
We should have you on. We need to have you on.
Oh, yeah. Well
no, I want to be in a relationship, though.
Well, that's the point, though. You don't have to be. Like, we talk to people who are freshly divorced.
We actually had an idea for Joe where
yeah,
it's
we
like we're talking about
dating. How much dating's changed in the last 5 years.
So what we want to do is rig you up with an earpiece and have you go on dates.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
We'll be like telling you what to say.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds so fun.
The only problem
Andrew's
is you have to get
excited.
A release.
Yeah, you have to get a release from the woman.
Which
that
I feel like kind of fucks it up because
then they'll know.
Their guard
is going to
be up.
Well, you can get the release afterwards, though.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
We might waste a lot of fucking time.
Yeah.
But also you just go, I'm Joe DeRosa, so this is showbiz, and they'll go, yes.
That's how it works?
Yep.
That's great. Yeah.
I'm Joe DeRosa, so I'm a big showbiz guy.
That's my line.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
That's my line. It sounds like a great podcast, and it sounds like one I would actually listen to.
Yeah. And we'll
I don't ever listen to podcasts.
We're actually going to be doing a live version of Wedlock at the New York Comedy Festival on November 10th.
Yep. Union Hall.
So come on out, Union Hall. Also, Joe and I will be at Houston Come and Take It Fest on November 18th doing stand-up and also a live Emotional Hangs.
And the shirts are being made as we speak. We have Let's Get Soft t-shirts for that event.
Yeah, they look beautiful, designed by Morgan Heslin.
Yeah, she did a great job. What happened to Suck My Woke Dick?
We're still looking for a designer for Suck My Woke Dick. The designer that I asked said he was too busy. He actually the reason he's too busy is Nolan Fabricius, and he is actually, he books Starburns Castle, which is Starburns where we record this podcast, Feral Audio, and it's the new the space that they have. And so Nolan's very too busy to design our Suck My Woke Dick t-shirt. So if anybody out there is a designer and wants to design Suck My Woke Dick t-shirts, get in touch with us on Twitter.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Lauren. Do you have anything you want to plug or talk about before we leave?
No, just that show.
Oh, wait. That's do you guys want to do an air it out?
Ooh, this is something I almost forgot.
I don't know what it is.
And people are going to stop listening because once we start plugging stuff, they're like, it's the end. I'm tearing it off.
Well, then they missed out.
Then they missed out. See, sometimes shit happens after the fucking plugs.
After the credits roll, you got to hang in, sit on your seat.
I felt like we were a little incomplete and I realized we didn't do an air it out.
What is air it out?
So this is air it out. It's a safe space where you can both admit something to one another that you have not told the other person yet. But it can be a grievance or it can be something that's very sweet that you just couldn't find the right time to say. But it's just a thing. Like, I want to get this out of my system. I want to tell you this, and I never have. Now, obviously, it works a bit better between friends because you guys are married, you know?
Yeah.
And that's... that's the tough part. Andrew's making a vagina sound. What
triangle?
Is that?
We should all do it?
A triangle?
A triangular air it out. Oh, okay. I like what Andrew's saying.
I thought he was doing the
vag thing. I thought he was doing
thing.
A heart. I love you? I was like, is he telling you he loves you?
Kurt and I have done a million.
Air it outs.
I mean, this is hard for a married couple.
Yeah.
Like, we had an incident this morning where... I hit the car. I fucking hit the door of the car into
our
garage.
Oh my God. This is something that I have not told you about that moment.
Yeah.
So I was racing back from working out because she had an audition. So I was racing back. It's opposite street parking. So
which
I couldn't put my car
no parking.
On the other side. And there's like a tiny spot in front of our driveway. So I pull my car in and I know that I'm sticking out and I think. I'm sticking out in front of our own driveway, right. Which where Lauren's car is. And what I want to do is run inside and be like, all right, I'm here. You can go. Also, take my car because it's blocking. But I forget to say that part. And she
come in and you're doing a lot of like stretching. You mostly
I'm
came
stretching
in and she was
because
like,
I left the class early to like get here.
It was such a hard class.
Do you know what was going through my fucking head? I'll tell you what
it's
was going through my head, Joe.
It's such a hard class.
I've been working out a lot. And I feel like my body is getting better looking when I have my shirt off. And I had my shirt off and I was stretching. I was like, it would be nice if Lauren turned around and saw all the work that I'm putting into working out and complimented me on it. That's what I was thinking that whole time. No, she's just putting on her fucking makeup and then turns around and walks out the fucking door, gets in her car, crashes her car.
You want me to
then
say
then comes
nice
back
pets.
In and starts screaming at me about it.
Fucking furious. And I was like, why would you park the fucking car that I can't get my car out?
I run out in my underwear. I put a dress shirt in my underwear on to get into my car so I can move it so she can leave. And as I'm waiting for her, she's not pulling the car out of the driveway.
I thought we were going to evaluate the door fucked we were.
Like, you have to go to a fucking audition. This is the whole thing about our morning has been like rush, rush, rush so you can get to this audition.
And then I had a car accident.
So then I like pull up and go, what are you doing? And then and I was like, and I was so angry, I fucking threw it in park, and I was like, what do you want to fucking yell about now?
That's what he said. That's what he said.
Wow.
After this was all his fault.
Not my fault. Not my fault.
Totally your fault.
Opposite
you came
side
in,
parking.
So
I was rushing back to be there for
and then,
you.
And then you if suddenly could... were like, I want her to compliment my body.
I would weigh in on this, Kurt. And much like my cycling story, you're wrong. You forgot to say I'm blocking the driveway.
The
you
most vital
time
thing.
Time out. No, time
no, you
out.
Forgot.
As a human being,
out of
if
vanity.
You see a car blocking the driveway, take the car that's blocking the driveway.
I was going to do that, but the last time I did that, you had a hissy fit because you didn't have a key to my car. So you didn't have a way to get around,
so
which is like, what happened to your fucking car key? What did you do with it? You threw it in the toilet? What happened to the car key?
I must have threw it in
not
the toilet
my problem.
After I shoved it up my own ass.
Hold on to your car keys
Lauren's
and
right.
We'd all be fine.
No, she is. I'm not just being a dick. She's right.
Lauren is
right. I was rushing.
But still, it would be nice once if
me.
She
that's
said,
not the argument,
you've
girl.
Done a nice job with your body.
That's
you, now it makes so much sense. He really did come in and he was just like, oh. Oh, what a workout doing these weird stretches. You just like, and I said, what did I say? I said, do you want to take a shower before I have to leave? Because we have a baby, so you can't necessarily take a long shower. And he was like, no. I'll do it after I finish stretching.
I also I couldn't stretch because I ran out of class to get here back in time so she could go to this audition.
I mean, you just forgot to tell me about the card.
I just forgot. And
so anyway, I shouldn't have.
And I apologize for that.
Yeah, I apologize for fucking up the door that's now going to cost us a lot of money because we're leasing this car.
At least $1,000.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you guys can borrow my brand new SUV that I own.
He's going to be out on the road taking down cyclists, guys. Watch out
left
for
and
him.
Right.
I have to do one with Lauren.
Oh, we're going
to
air it out?
I don't know. Do we have enough time? We have 2 minutes.
Okay.
We have to, like,
clear
out.
I'll do it fast, okay. But this is actually this is a positive, but it starts negative.
Oh, boy.
But we talked about this. We did a whole episode about it. With the time you had that birthday party and you didn't invite me, and I so hurt.
He was so hurt.
I was so hurt by it because I didn't know it was a couple's party. You were, like, inviting your friends.
No, she was inviting, like, ladies, but then Scotty showed up.
Wait,
and
I don't even know which party this was.
This was, like, your birthday party.
I think it was before you guys even got married, to be honest. It was a while
ago.
It was
your birthday party, and your reasoning was... I'm just inviting these ladies, but then like a few dudes showed up. I think like Scotty and Rich Blomquist,
and
he found out about that.
Well,
you're so bummed out.
The way I found out about the party was I was at a bar with Vince in Georgia the night before, and Vince was like, "So man, let's hit Brown Orange thing tomorrow, man." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he was like, "It's Lauren's birthday. We're going to the park." And I was like, "I ain't gonna invite it." And Vince was so pot, and he kept going. This has clearly been an oversight, DeRosa. I don't want you to worry about this. This was clearly an oversight.
This is a nice
He was like, really? Like, there's no way you're invited.
And then he texted me, and I was like, no, it's just Lauren's
friends.
No,
that's not what happened.
No?
I texted you, and you were backstage at Meltdown to shoot.
Oh, right.
And I was like, I don't get invited to your wife's birthday party. And then you wrote back, oh, come on, dude. Fuck you, man. You're going to give me shit about this. And I was like, why is he being so mad? I didn't know he was taping a TV show. Then he told me what it was. We talked about the whole thing. We did a whole episode about it. We laughed our asses off about it. But here's the thing. Uh-huh. That's not the point. I'm not mad about that. At the time, I was sad. But then I was like, I'm over it. I doubly cherish our friendship now. And I mean that. And I always think back to that. And I go, oh, that's so weird that there was a time where I felt like we weren't friends or I felt like slighted or left out or whatever. I was like, you guys are like practically family. So it's like, you know, it's a beautiful journey.
It's a beautiful journey.
So am I supposed to say like a smart ass comment right now? Should I? Or is it?
Oh, you can say smart ass.
You can say whatever you want. You can make fun of me if you want.
No, I don't have anything.
No, that's okay. We have to wrap it up anyway. We have to literally get out of here.
Okay, so to say something sweet though.
Yeah.
The many voicemails that we exchanged when we both didn't have service and you were trying to thank me. Because it was my idea that he should be the godfather. And you just decided to ask him when I wasn't there, which I was kind of bummed out about. Because you did it on the show.
It was your idea?
Yeah, it was my idea.
What?
Yeah. I totally... Yes, it was.
Andrew's just wrap it up.
Anyway, Joe left me like 2 or 3 messages, and we kept leaving messages for each other, but they were all like broken up because we didn't have good service. So it was like this really kind, long message that you would hear, like, but it means so much. I really so appreciate it. Love you like a boy.
It was very sweet. We were both getting those messages. Like hers were doing
mine
that on
were
my
around too.
Okay, yeah, so it was very sweet.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks
I feel like
we
do a whole
me.
Other episode with Lauren.
Yeah. When
thanks
I'm not
for
here.
Having me, guys.
Get into more shit. Seriously. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Feral Audio.